Well, good morning again, everybody. I hope all of you have had a good week. I know sounds like you two have had a good week with how many fish you caught.
If I'm on the water, it's a good day.
Yeah, no doubt. Anybody on the water, it's a good day. So, Steve asked me to bring a message a few weeks ago. Actually, he let me know a month ago that I would be doing it today. So this week I had like four topics I wanted to talk about. And I tried to roll all four into one, and it's just not going to happen. So I'm going to cover hopefully two. This week, to get a perspective, it's been a while, maybe two, three months ago, I brought that video in to just get an idea of how big the universe is. And we weren't allowed to show that online because of copyright issues, and we just didn't want to do that. So I'd like to do something similar to that just to get an idea, and I just want to focus mainly on our solar system and our galaxy just to get a perspective. And this is something that helps me. When I see something like this, I get excited because it helps me stop thinking so much of things on this earth and get a heavenly perspective. And I think that's good for us in this day and age because we're bombarded with focusing on earthly things, right? So I wanted to make sure that we try to review something like this to get a better heavenly perspective and try to get our things above. But it's also good to review these things and take a look at just how enormous not only our solar system is, but how big our galaxy is. So that's kind of what I want to focus on, and there's another one I'm going to try to roll in at the end, and hopefully it's not too choppy, and I want to try to somewhat kind of just move into the second topic. So let's go ahead and open in prayer. Lord, I'm so thankful that we have the opportunity to meet together again here today. I'm thankful for the ability to study your word openly and freely with these folks here today, and we thank you for their commitment to come here, and we're thankful for their testimony and the fellowship that we can share together. I pray that you'd be with me today, that I would speak clearly, and to just try to be a good ambassador for you, preaching your word. Amen. So, I'm not going to write the title up there yet. I've got to get a little backstory of the title of this. As I get older and continue to learn, as Sarah and I continue to learn, that even though we are teaching our kids new things, they teach us something new every day. And just by the questions they ask and the things they say, and it kind of gives us pause to stop and think about maybe some of the questions they have, and helps us to engage in pursuing an answer. And maybe it's not so simple all the time. So this week was normal in as far as being busy and going to work, and Sarah homeschools the kids, so she's got a busy day always. And when I come home, she's ready for me to take over. She's ready for me. She's had a full day of work, not just with homekeeping, but in schooling our kids and keeping them somewhat contained and you know, just the daily needs of those little ones. And so at dinner time, they were talking about the memory verse they had learned, and one of the questions that Caleb posed to me was, "Daddy, how big is God?" And after just the shock of a four-year-old asking me that, I kind of had to stop and think about it, like, well, that's a good question, Caleb. That's a good question. And so that kind of gave me, it kind of threw off the first topic I wanted to talk about, and that came front and center. And so when I talk about either teaching us new things or teaching us how to study things, that's what I'm talking about. They ask a question, and you have to stop and, well, how big is God? And so that reminded me of the video that I brought in to show just the size of not only our Earth, but our solar system, and then moving on to our galaxy, the Milky Way, and even further. So I wanted to stop and get a perspective of how big is God? We believe God created the Earth, and God created our solar system, our galaxy, the universe. And so the size and scope of that is something that we need to look at. So let's start with, if you turn to Psalm 19. Let's start with Psalm 19, verse 1. Psalm 19, verse 1. Let's get an idea of how big God is. Verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor knowledge where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun." In verse 5 it says, "Which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race." This is what gets me, verse 6. "His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and is and his circuit, and the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." So when I look at these verses, and I see what he's saying there, this is God's playground. This is his artwork. And I think about the word circuit, how there's in racing, in automobile racing, rally racing, there's circuits. You do a circuit. You do a part of the whole race. And as you do the circuits, you come around to the finish line. And it's also the same way in biking. You have different circuits in biking, to where, or different stages is another way to put it. So you do this circuit, it's a race to win this circuit. It's a race to win this circuit. But what I want to focus on is the whole thing. And we're going to jump off there and get an idea of our solar system, our galaxy, and try to get an idea for perspective on how big God really is. And I'm thinking about this as I'm trying to ponder how I'm going to answer my son. So because of that video was copyrighted, we're just going to try to get an idea of sizing and even just our known universe. So we're going to review that, and we're going to start with our simple solar system. So we have the sun, which is in the center of our solar system. Our sun is actually a small star, and its diameter is roughly 870,000 miles in diameter. Next we have Mercury, Venus. Earth is 8,070 miles in diameter, and Mars. These four are what we call terrestrial or rocky planets. Then next you have Jupiter and Saturn, which are the two gas giants in our solar system. Jupiter itself is 93,200 miles in diameter. That's 1,000 times bigger than Earth. Uranus and Neptune, those are pretty much the same size. One is about 31,000, the other one's about 32,000 miles in diameter. Those are called the ice giants. Now, when I was growing up, Pluto was still a planet. I wanted to put Pluto up there, but they kind of put a slash through that and canceled that one out. There are also what's called dwarf planets, and it's estimated that there are hundreds of dwarf planets, but there's only five that are actually recognized by the IAU, which is the International Astronomical Union. So the five dwarf planets that nobody really ever talks about is Ceres, Pluto, Haumea, I think is how you say it. This planet's called Makemake, and Eris. Those are all smaller than our moon. Our moon is only about 2,000 miles in diameter. So where is our solar system? Our solar system is located on one of these outer, what would be called arms. I guess you'd call them arms. Our solar system is on the Sagittarius arm of our Milky Way. Our solar, or our galaxy is spinning around the center of our galaxy. Let's see right here. We are located 27,000 light years from the center. Does anybody know what a light year is? No. This is perspective, okay? One light year, Steve would know this off the top of his head, equals, roughly, we're rounding up here, 6 trillion miles. One light year is an astronomical distance. It's one light year equals how far light can travel in one year. 6 trillion miles. So to get an idea of how far that is, let me find my place and where this is at. Let's translate that to, let's say, 1 million seconds. Normally it takes, if you were to be able to count seconds, because you can't say 999,248,250, you can't say that big number in just 1 second. It takes you actually about 2.5. So let's say, let's just convert it to seconds. 1 million seconds . That equals 12 days. One billion seconds equals 31.7 years. Now remember, we're just converting miles to seconds. If you were to take 1 trillion seconds, that's over 999 billion. If you were to take 1 trillion seconds, that is 31,709.8 years. One light year equals 6 trillion miles. One light year. The center of our galaxy is 27,000 light years. Our solar system is 27,000 light years to the center of our galaxy. 27,000. Now, I figured that out. Of course, I had to ask Google about that. So, let me just try to remember this. 6.0 times 10 to the 15th power. Because, of course, I asked Google, what's 6 trillion times 1,000? So you would take 6 times 10 and then move that decimal point 15 times. That's how many miles it is to the center of our galaxy. Our galaxy is considered an intermediate size. It's not small, it's not big, it's somewhere in the middle. Mid-size. The diameter of our Milky Way, our galaxy, which we're in the Sagittarius arm up here, it kind of looks like a spiraling arms. Now, I couldn't get a straight answer from the Google machine, but it's anywhere, I heard 100,000, I also heard 130,000, but so I'm guessing somewhere in there. It's about 120,000 light years in diameter. One light year is 6 trillion miles. Yeah, it's when you say it's astronomical. Yes, it's astronomical. Our Milky Way galaxy is spinning. It is spinning at a mere 143 miles per second. That's not that fast, considering it's 125,000 light years in diameter. But for perspective on that, if you were to take an object moving at 143 miles per second and put it in orbit around the Earth, starting in the middle, moving around this way, it would come back to you in about 2 minutes and 54 seconds. Long enough to sing a song. Scientists estimate that there are around 200 billion stars in our galaxy, just in the Milky Way. Of those 200 billion stars, this is stars, this is considered a star, our sun is a star. Of those 200 billion stars, 6 billion of those stars have solar systems like ours, planets moving around those stars, in orbit around those stars, with similar makeup composition, gas giants, ice giants, terrestrial rocky planets, and that doesn't include the moons. I'm not including the moons for Saturn and all the other planets. Has anybody ever heard of Voyager 1? Voyager 1 was launched in 1977. I wasn't around then. Yeah. Voyager 1 is now the furthest human-made object away from the Earth. It was launched in 1977. It's now the most distant human object in space. It travels at a speed of 44,000 miles an hour. Can anybody guess where it's at now? Does anybody know? No. It is just now at the edge of our solar system. Just now. It just made it here. Launched in 1977 and heading this way. just now made it to the edge of our solar system. It's having a hard time powering its communication system because at this point in space, it's the solar energy of the sun is only 1/5,000th as bright as our Earth is. So it's not getting a whole lot of solar energy. As a matter of fact, scientists are astounded that it's even able to communicate back to Earth. Here's another number for you. Our Milky Way galaxy, which has, it's estimated to have 200 billion stars, 6 billion of those have solar systems. Our Milky Way galaxy is only one of 125 billion other galaxies. How do you comprehend those numbers? Milky Way is one of 125 billion galaxies. Remember, just to count to this number billion, if you were to count one number every second, it would take you 31.7 years to even count that far. Just 1 billion. Now we're talking about 125 billion. And to get to 2 billion, you have to start over. So let's multiply this by 125. 31.7 times 125, I'm not even going to figure it out. Remember, this is an intermediate-sized galaxy. Middle. Not small, not large. Intermediate. The closest galaxy to our galaxy is called the Andromeda Galaxy. That's our neighbor. It is 2.573 million light years away. 1 light year equals 6 trillion miles. The Andromeda Galaxy is only 2.537 million light years away. And the two are going to collide and we're all going to be destroyed. No worries. We're not going to be around. The Andromeda Galaxy, again, it's hard to get a straight number. And I'm sure even to the best mathematicians' calculations, it's still somewhat of an estimate. But the Andromeda Galaxy is a little bit bigger than the Milky Way. I think it's somewhere around 140 billion light years. Not billion, 140,000 light years. 140,000 light years. That's still huge. Sorry, I get the millions and billions and thousands mixed up. Now let's get some perspective on the size of the galaxy. So I tried to do a little research and found a galaxy called M87. M87 has a diameter. What's the symbol for diameter? M87 has a diameter of 980,000 light years. 980,000 light years. Again, 1 light year equals 6 trillion miles. Just to count to a trillion, if it only took you 1 second, it would take you 31,709.8 years just to count to it. And then you'd have to do it all over again. 6 times. Just to count to 1 trillion. Our galaxy is small compared to M87. So I said, okay, is there one bigger than M87? Yes, there is. And you can imagine what its name is called. Hercules. Hercules, and let me see how I spell this. Okay. Hercules galaxy, Hercules A, I'm sorry. It has a diameter of 1.5 million light years. I didn't even try to calculate how big that is. It was first found in the 1800s. People thought it was a star. I can't remember the guy's name. I'm sorry. Hercules A is just 1.5 million years. There is one bigger than Hercules A. It's called IC. I'm running out of room here, which is okay. The galaxy IC-1101. This is the one that was discovered in the 1800s. It's a spherical galaxy, like a ball, and it is over 1 billion light years away from us. So it's 1 billion light years from us. And this is the one that was discovered in the 1800s. They thought it was a star. It's 60 times bigger than our Milky Way. It was found in the 1800s. And this should just give us perspective on how small we really are. Now, there are multiple resources online to get an idea of how big some of these stars are. Hypergiants, red hypergiants, blue hypergiants, supergiants, stars that are... Our sun is tiny compared to those. Our solar system is so small compared to these numbers. And some of the most brilliant astronomers and mathematicians can figure these things out. Now, it's, you know, plus or minus 1,000 light years, but when you're considering 27,000 light years plus or minus 1,000 light years, it's still a huge distance, right? So this brings me to the second topic. And considering all the vastness of space just in our solar system, just in the size of Jupiter, which is 93,200 miles in diameter. Considering this, how seemingly easy it is for our society and even the Christian church to take God's name in vain. People do it like it's nothing every day. You hear it on TV. How many hundreds or thousands of times a day? In passing conversation when you're talking about nothing. Oh my God. GD. Jesus Christ. That's not offensive. When we look at these numbers and these little drawings on a board, and we see the vastness of space and the fact that God runs a circuit around us, and I get a question from my son to say, how big is God? It's his playground. There are 125 billion galaxies, 200 billion stars like our sun in our Milky Way. And we want to empty his name like it's absolutely nothing. Most of the time it's used in disgust or surprise or fear or when you're just describing something out of the blue. But let's turn to Exodus 20, verse 7. As Steve would say, Charlton Heston has just come down from the mountain, and he's getting ready to give the Israelites their Ten Commandments. The third commandment, in verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now this is going back to the law, so we're going to have a little bit of discernment, and use our good judgment and our understanding of dispensational Bible study. But it's good direction. And it says this same exact phrase in Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. In Psalm 139, it says, Psalm 139, 20, David's talking to God, says, for they speak against thee with wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. We look at things like our small solar system, considering the size of our galaxy, the number of galaxies in our known universe. And of course we believe God created all things. He runs circles around it. It's his handiwork. In Colossians 1:16 it says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be throne or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him, all things consist. We choose to empty God's name and use it to describe disgust or hate. And then we think it's okay. We reduce it to a derogatory term. Now let me ask you this, isn't this exactly what Satan did? Yeah. It's just like Psalm 139:20. His enemies take his name in vain. Satan was proud and said, I will become like the Most High. He's reducing God. Thinking he is better. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've done it to my shame. I think we all have. But let's stop. Let's put praise and glory to whom it's due.
Amen.
One light year equals 6 trillion miles. Our galaxy is 125,000 light years in diameter. It's enormous. We have a hard time as humans being on this small little earth that's only 8,000 miles in diameter trying to get a hold of those things. But it gives us a heavenly perspective, doesn't it? When our day is going exactly how we don't plan, and we think that we're the most important thing in the universe, can we stop and get a perspective and see how awesome God is and His plan? Let's start magnifying the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And start standing up for His name and backing Him. Let's start defending it. Let's speak up when somebody takes it in vain. Hey, stop! And we don't have to get right in their face, but you know, maybe we could pull them aside and say, hey, you know, I'm a Christian, and I regard God's name. And I don't like it when you do that. And I'm not saying I'm perfect, but please stop. As a young man, there was a teacher we had in our school. And he reserved one word in describing, not just one word, but this word was important to him. He reserved it for describing God or Jesus or his Savior. And that word was awesome. He said no one should ever use the word awesome for anything else but the God of heaven and earth. And when you stop and look at something like this, how could you not agree? Our God is awesome.
Amen.
When you look at not just the earth, and looking at creation and the earth, is you could spend years on studying that and understanding how awesome that is. But when you just look at something like this that you could put on a whiteboard and try to get an idea or try to comprehend the size and the scope and the span of what he's done. And then my son says, Daddy, how big is God? He's big enough. He's big enough to run circles around the known universe. But he's small enough to die on a cross for me. When we look at this and his creation and realize what he did for us, and that he humbled himself and took on the form of a servant, even death, for me, for you. Let's read Philippians 2, verse 5. Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You ever wonder why, and I can't take credit for this thought, it's something we talked about on Thursday, but you ever wonder why Jesus asked God, if it be possible for this cup to pass, but not thy will, or not my will, but thine? Have you ever considered in your own life the weight of one sin? But then consider the weight of all your sins in your life, just yours. Let's expand that to your family. All the sin of just your family in all of their lifetime. and think about the weight of that sin for a righteous God to take on. And then try to comprehend the sin of mankind throughout all of the known time, from Adam to present. All past, present, and future. The weight that was placed on a righteous, holy God. It's astronomical.
Amen.
How big is God? He's big enough to run circuits around the known universe and beyond. He's big enough to take on the weight of sin from every last human being on this earth. But he's small enough to care enough for me to take on my sin too. He sacrificed his blood for my sin. And if that doesn't give you perspective and give you an idea of the love, the breadth, the depth, the height of that love, then you need to stay in this book or humble yourself enough to realize that I'm not anywhere near worth what he did, but he loved me enough. The creator of all this, my creator, loved me enough to sacrifice his blood for me and for everyone else.
Amen.
And all we have to do is believe it. The offer's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is accept it.
Amen.
That's all I have today. I could only get to two topics. Does anybody else have any thoughts on that?